Joining us now, he won Olympic gold 24 years ago in Lillehammer. He is awesome as far as I'm concerned. Dan Jansen, what's going on, Dan?
Good morning. That sounds old, 24 years ago.
I know.
I appreciate it.
I'm not sure our producer was born yet. We hate him.
Yeah, so reflect back on that 24 years ago. It was after the Olympics. You've got gold in your hand after all of the slips and falls going through. I mean, just kind of bring us back to that point in time. I mean, how'd it feel?
Oh, man, it's pretty hard to describe. Mostly, relief was the biggest, probably the biggest emotion immediately anyway, because I finally gave it my potential at the Olympic Games and, for different reasons that hadn't happened before. So, the gold medal was obviously icing on the cake, but I really was... I was so happy that I finally skated well at the Olympics, and then to be able to celebrate with my family was there, and that was Lillehammer in Norway, so it was a great place for the games, almost like skating at home, because the Norwegian people were very familiar, probably more familiar with my story than even the U.S. people at that time anyway. Special.
And Dan, the media at the time, I mean, they talked about breaking a 10-year jinx or a drought. Did it ever feel to you like you were jinxed? I mean, or was it just part of the process, part of being a competitive athlete?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't. I went out and I had a, there were, I fell twice, and it happened to be in the same Olympics in 1988, and it was, one of them was on the day my sister passed away. So, then after that, it became this big story, and they want to call it redemption and all that. Well, I 4 years after that, I didn't, I finished fourth. I should have won, but I didn't. And then finally in my last games, I didn't win the one I was supposed to. So I get it from the perspective of the media, but sometimes they make it a little more than it is, or the reasons are, they make their own reasons, I should say. So, yeah, it was an interesting journey, but all worth it in the end, for sure.
Yeah, before we talk about the 2018 Olympics, I'm assuming you started your career outside skating on outdoor rinks and then finished inside. I mean, explain to people what the difference is, and do you think it's a good thing that they went from going outside to going inside?
Yeah, that was one of the changes, as you said, that happened during my career. And I will tell you, well, there are some days that there's no question it's better inside. Where I grew up in Wisconsin, it was what we had. It was the only one in the country, the only 400-meter oval, that wasn't on a lake. I'm talking a refrigerated oval. But oh my gosh, cold, windy, just nasty out there a lot, most of the time. But, on the other side of that, it made us tough and it made us strong. And we kind of fought through the elements and you did what you had to do. I sound like I'm 100 years old, uphill both ways to school.
Right.
But it was, it's kind of true. And then, so when we went indoors, look, I mean, it's great because you can control everything. You can make it fair for everybody. You're not going to get wind gusted by the wind. You're not going to get, rain and different snow, different elements. But there's something to be said for, gosh, we used to go to this track up in the mountains of Switzerland every year. We used to train in Germany in this Bavarian town. I mean, skating outdoors on beautiful days, it's absolutely impossible to beat. So I miss that aspect of the sport very much, and I do wish some of the skaters nowadays could experience that as well.
Yeah, I mean, in golf, we have technology that's impacted the game, and people wonder how that really affects the record books and things like that. I mean, going inside on perfect ice conditions without any wind or whatever, and the speed suits have changed, and now even the athletes look a little bit different. They're training differently than you did in your day. Is it fair to compare, your 8 world records to the current times, or do we have to look at them in 2 different compartments in terms of how technology's changed the sport?
Yeah, great question. And I think it really isn't, but mostly I should say it's not fair. But here's the main reason, not so much outdoor to indoor. I actually did have the last outdoor world record, but then I had the last indoor one when I retired as well. However, the biggest change has been in the skates. You talk about technology in a golf club or the ball. And the skates have changed the sport completely. Now a speed skate looks like a mini version, if you will, of a cross-country ski where it's hinged at the toe. So when you push off with your toe, the blade remains on the ice as you're extending. So with each stride, you're getting, let's say, another 6 feet of push. And that adds up, believe me. It's over probably a second to a second and a half per lap now because of this mechanical, device, basically. And if you think about a second or a second and a half at 40 miles an hour, you're talking 40 meters. It's mm-hmm. a huge, so that's why it's not fair to compare the times. But it's the technology of the skate that's changed the biggest change.
Again, we're talking with Olympic gold medalist Dan Jansen. And Dan, when we talk about 2018 in Pyeongchang and South Korea, how was the experience over there? I mean, what was it? What was the village like and all that stuff? I mean, compared to other times that you've been to the Olympics.
So, yeah, they did a great job. I'll tell you, the organization of the games was great. The people are amazing, super polite and very friendly. And they were proud, proud to host the games, and it showed. And I tend to go back when I think about all the games that I have participated in, and whether as an athlete or, part of the media, which now has been, this is my, talk about feeling old, this is my 10th Winter Olympic Games. And so you sort of judge it by that. You judge by the people, because if they don't really, and I don't want to mention, many cities and give them a bad rap, but there were one or two that you really didn't feel welcome as an athlete. And that shows, and it really kind of affects the experience you have at an Olympics. And this was a really good one. The country itself, goodness, just beautiful. We were there were different clusters, so we were down in the coastal cluster. Our hotel was literally on the beach, and 30 minutes by car and you're up in the mountains. I mean, it's, if you think about that as topography of a land, it's absolutely stunning land. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, certainly compared to, I guess, Sochi, which would have been like having the Olympics in Raleigh. It was so weird because it was warm and, it was bizarre. Yeah. This seemed to at least look like winter. But one thing I noticed, I didn't see any of the commentators' breath or any of the athletes even. And I asked Brad Panovich, our weather guy, if he knew why. I mean, here we are. They're telling us it's in the 20s. If it's in the 40s in Charlotte, you see everyone's breath. What is going on here? It was the strangest. So I sat there and I watch every event. I am addicted to the Olympics. And I sat there and it was distracting to me. I was like, wait a second. Maybe it's not cold. Maybe they're just telling me it's cold. But then I'm looking at the commentators wearing like three jackets and a hat. And I'm like, well, then they would be sweaty. So I was completely distracted. Was it really as cold as they said?
Well, first of all, did Brad have an answer for that? Because I'm curious too.
He thought that the air was is very, very dry, and he thought they lied about the temperatures. So I'm asking you because you were there.
I'd say he's right on the first. It is dry there. No, it was cold. Well, for the first week, it was super cold. Then it kind of warmed up, and at least down where we were, then it was like here. It was maybe 40s. However, up in the mountains and up, I went to opening ceremony, and it was really nasty cold. We had hand warmers and all the stuff they put in your mittens and your gloves and your feet, and luckily, because it was really cold. But I didn't. That's a very interesting point you're bringing up about seeing your breath.
I'm also distracted by any shiny object, so don't judge based on me. I mean, but I did like that when they knew that the opening ceremonies were going to be so cold, they changed the march music to something faster because they thought it would get the athletes to go faster. I thought that was brilliant. That was a very efficient idea. When you look back on these games, I mean, and obviously there are many great stories about the American athletes' performances, but having been there, felt the vibe in person, what's your takeaway in terms of events that, you really enjoyed and you saw people get excited about?
Personally, I can speak for I went to the U.S. women's gold medal game, and it was a hockey game. It was one of the most exciting sports events I've been at ever of any sport. You just were on the edge of your seat the whole time, and that was amazing. And I have to say I hated that it was decided by a shootout, because I don't think a game of that magnitude should be. Having said that, I do think on this day the better team won. The U.S. team, especially the overtime period, completely dominated. They just couldn't get it in the net. But there were, I didn't get to see in person, Jesse Diggins, the cross-country ski gold medal. I saw it afterwards, and I actually saw it live on TV, but it was in Korean, so I couldn't. And those commentators weren't quite as excited as ours, I think. It was, moments like that are just what make the Olympics so special. And it's hard to describe what it means to an athlete to be there and then to finally achieve that long, lifelong goal. But, man, when you see those things, it's pretty special. And then, it certainly brings back memories for me, too. So really fun times.
Yeah, and speaking of special, before we let you go, talk a little bit about the Dan Jansen Foundation.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, so my foundation, I started just after I retired from the sport. And, when my sister was ill with leukemia, she had to have her bone marrow transplant out in Seattle. Well, we're from Milwaukee area, my family, and so we were traveling back and forth, and she lived there for a year, and my parents did as well. And I saw how expensive that became. And so when my foundation was sort of evolving, we did research, we did those things, but eventually it turned more toward the family aid side. And so we actually partner up with Levine Children's Hospital here, and they help us find families in Charlotte, or whether they're traveling to Charlotte to be treated. And so, we help with travel, with room and board, living expenses that people kind of forget about. You think, oh, they've got all these medical expenses, but some of them can't pay their rent then when they're being treated, or their sons or daughters aren't. So we help with that. And it's been rewarding, and it's, we're trying to keep it going, and we do what we can. It's not a huge foundation, but we love to help when we can.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, Dan, man, we always love talking to you, and we've done it a couple times now. And we'd love to get involved in your Celebrity Classic as well, and advertise that for you and everything. So certainly keep in touch with us, and we'll do what we can for you.
Great. I'll do that. Hey, appreciate it, guys. You have a good weekend here, and looks like it's going to be nice out. Maybe hit the golf course.